The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Excuse me, what Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. Junior.
Clinical muscle starts. The doctors are in. This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. VJ Puri. Along with me, as always, the star of this production, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, we actually recorded the other show, the last one. And it just takes, you know, Advices has so many good shows coming out. It just takes them a bit to get it out. So it's, you know, after a week, you know, then you're like, oh, time to do it again once it came out. So, yeah. We're cranking them out every other week or so.
They've got to get like the heavy hitters out first, you know, to like get the attention. So they'll put out like Muscle Minds, and they'll put out Blood, Sweat, and Gear, and then some Beyond Driven. And they'll be like, oh yeah, and don't forget about Clinical Muscle over here.
Yeah, and well, I believe it goes by grades. So like we're CD students,
yeah.
So we're sitting back in the class.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Pre-recording, we were talking about how fucking cold it is, and I thought you guys would. So right now in Delaware, where I'm at, man, I am not a cold person. You know, like meaning, I can generally like stand fucking cold weather. Like I don't even wear. I don't even know if I own a winter coat, like a big one, like a super big one.
Jeez. Okay.
Honestly, though, man, this is the coldest shit I've ever felt in a long time. Like we're having minus every day.
I know. It's insanity.
It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, this is like when I grew up in Ottawa, Canada, this is how cold it was there.
See, I, you know what? And like this morning, remember when I just ran out and I was like, oh, I'm going to be late. I got to run to the store. Got to get the kids, whatever. I ran outside and it was like my truck said like 3 degrees and yesterday it was 1. And I was thinking, I can't complain to this about to you guys because I thought Michigan this time of year was always like that. But you're saying it's you guys are getting Arctic blasted too, more than normal.
Yeah. We're in like the Detroit area. We're at like the bottom of the mitt, you know, of that is Michigan, you know. But man, if you go up north to like the northern part of Michigan, it's like it's fucking cold all the time. And the snow up there is ungodly.
Is that north closer to the water, right?
Well, it's just surrounded by Lake Michigan and then Lake Huron.
Okay, yeah.
So they get all like the lake effect snow and like the lake effect like Arctic air and shit, you know?
Okay. Yeah. See, that's what I picked. But you guys don't get all that. Like you're like I think for us this time of year, 30s is probably normal. 35, you know, 32. And I was saying yesterday, I can't believe I'm saying this. I feel like I could wear a tank top in 30 degrees compared to this shit.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts.
My dog, a rascal, the big white one, you know, he don't want nothing to do. I'm literally having to force him outside. Like, he wants nothing to do with this shit. I'm afraid he's going to shit and piss in the house or explode one or the other. He goes out and he's like pissing by the back door on the deck.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're like, no.
I know.
Thank God there's snow out there right now still.
Yeah. So he does do something at least when he goes. He probably runs right back to the back door.
He hasn't even, dude, he don't even leave. He's running. And yesterday, Christine was freaking out because it looked like he was going to squat and take a shit on the deck. She's like kicking it down the step. Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
You know it's cold. Because dogs are generally, they kind of like snow. My dogs usually go out and flop, you know, they like, you know, fuck around in it and shit. And they don't want nothing to do with this. It's like fucking Arctic cold.
My Frodo, our pug, Frenchie mix, he fucking hates the snow.
You don't have to tell me who Frodo is anymore. He's like a fucking legend.
He hates the snow. He hates the cold. He hates the snow. Yeah, I gotta, just like Rascal, I gotta force his ass outside, and then I gotta yell at him to go, to get off the patio. Go, get in the fucking grass, or
Snow. That's what we're doing too. Yeah. That's what we're doing too. Yeah. And they don't usually do that, even if it's snowing. They usually run around it, but it's so fucking cold. Like, it's beyond cold.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah. The only dog that actually that likes the cold of ours is Phoebe. She's our St. Bernard English Mastiff mix, and that's and that's because she's St. Bernard mix. You know?
Yeah, she got that bloodline in her, and probably doesn't even feel it.
She fucking loves it. She's out there playing in the snow, diving into it, running around, having a good time. And then Frodo's over there shaking in the corner, just like scratching at the door like he wants back inside.
Oh, man. Poor this bastard. Sucks.
I couldn't imagine going outside and taking a shit out there in the cold like that.
My asshole would just freeze shut.
You would lose your balls. Your balls would be gone.
Well, yeah, they would turn
turn into ovaries. They'd just shove right back up into your, like, into, like, where your uterus should be.
Your crevice there, yeah.
Disgusting. So, it's nasty, man.
So you said you got a bunch of shit to do today. So, man, we're going to knock
it
out. What do you got going on?
I got to go
pull guns out on people. What?
Yeah. It's actually, I just have to show an apartment, collect some rents, break some thumbs, and then, and then I've got all kinds of paperwork to work on over here because, you know, I had a situation over there at our property in Iowa, and now I got to manage both properties from, you know, one location. So I'm pretty crazy busy, you know.
Yeah, that's messed up. I heard you say that. I didn't know you had properties in Iowa. I thought you just had them where you live, so things are close by. So that's kind of. That's kind of different. Yeah.
I had an on-site manager. I just didn't know that she was fucking me over nearly as bad as she was. So oh man, it was bad. It was real. It's real bad.
You could tell me off the air. Sometime.
Oh yeah, but, it's awful.
Yeah, we got. I got some things to do. I gotta work. I gotta work out today. And today's Stevie's. Man, I'm getting kind of messed up today. Today's Stevie's first basketball. You know, season. His first game. His basketball season starts. We got a game at 2:30. So were you there?
Oh yeah, I'm listening.
Yes. Oh no! I got super quiet. I was like, oh shit. So anyway, I got that to do, and then I'm going to Haley. So I'm taking him there, and Haley has a end of year cheerleading banquet that I'm going to miss, and Chrissy's got to go there. So
what are they serving?
I don't know, but it was $20 a person, and
Jesus
I'm glad I'm not.
Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not going since I wouldn't eat it anyway. I'm, you know, since I started the little diet we're doing.
Shit, that's right. We're 2 weeks deep now, almost.
Yeah, but listen, you got to tell me about yours. You're having way more. Your shit's coming off way quicker than mine.
It will. Mine will stall out eventually, and Shelby will do torture the shit out of me even further. But but yeah, it's coming off, man. This is day. What was it? It was 10 days yesterday. So it's just like 11. It's not even 2 weeks now, but I'm like 14 and a half pounds down.
Jeez, that is crazy. You are just. Bloated,
just a bloated pig. Oh yeah,
yeah. You never look in your pictures though, but that must be all water.
It's just water. It's tons of water. That's why I have like such like crazy good pumps all the time when I'm eating McDonald's and Oreos, and then now no more McDonald's and Oreos, and now just the pumps are just like
I know what you mean. Yeah. Mine hasn't been that crazy, but we started on Boxing Day, but I did cheat on my birthday.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, I mean, I had the fucking Mexican. I had some fucking. They had to wear the sombrero. So.
I saw. So
that threw it off some right there. But I've been good, good since. And I'm like my weight's down like 6 pounds since we started, really. So I was like 212-ish, and yesterday I was 206.6 or something like that. So about 6 pounds.
That's still pretty good, Doc. I mean, you know that you don't have you're missing a lot of your colon. You know what I mean? So that's your water ribs are like you don't carry a ton of water anyways. You know?
Yeah, I feel like I do, but I don't think I do.
Yeah. So that
I just carry it in exact certain spots, so it's real noticeable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you get some water retention, but because you don't have a colon, you know, your water absorption is just way lower than your average person. I look like I've got three colons because I can just I can water it up like a sponge, just watery absorb all damn day, no problem.
Yeah,
my poo is like coal.
Yesterday, man, I know what you mean. I was I was in the gym and I just, I felt so fucking flat. And I hate that feeling. It's like, oh, you just want to get a good pump and you can't. So
you can't,
it's like,
I know. And then, you know, if you rest too long in between sets, you're like, fuck, it's gone. You know, you got to keep it up.
Do you do anything different for your training when you diet, or do you just kind of?
No, I keep it all the same. Right now, I've got like things I got to work around, so it's like I've got to get pretty inventive with some leg training, and then even some upper body things. You know, especially on back day, I've got to get pretty inventive. Usually, it's just a fucking pull up marathon because that's the one thing I can still do well. You know,
yeah, that's what you were saying.
Yeah, but otherwise, I don't change too much. Shelby has me doing like high intensity cardio a few like 3-4 times a week now. So,
okay, so you're doing it. Sucks. You're doing like how long you got to do that for?
It's about 20 minutes. Yeah, it's like okay. 5 minute warm up, 15 minutes of interval. It's about 17 minutes of interval. So
that's
not too bad. Like 22 minutes altogether. But man, it sucks when your knees ache and your hips ache.
Yeah,
and you're flat as shit, right?
Starving.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only thing I'm doing a little this time. A little test is I've been doing a lot more like supersets and giant sets and stuff like that, trying to do more really fast paced, you know, trying to keep my heart rate up, focused on sort of just trying to burn as many calories as I can in the gym. That's what I've been. I don't usually change anything, but the last couple weeks I've been doing that just to see if it, you know, speeds anything up as far as weight loss, calories and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, I don't usually change much.
Training is like. It's different for everybody. Like training affects people completely different. Like for me, it's like my body responds really well to food and training, but like hardly at all to like any anabolics or anything like that. You know what I mean? So it's like, and some people, they can respond to any kind of training. It really doesn't matter because, you know, their diet takes care of all of it for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of people like that. And so you're probably in that group where, you know, you can just probably get away with doing what you're doing, giant sets, supersets, getting inventive, you know, and taking shorter rests and stuff, and you'll still hold on to muscle like crazy. Like, you'll just get leaner and leaner.
Yeah, I think that's how – for me, it's all diet. Mm-hmm. It is real. I mean, if I don't do it right, it don't work for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to be right. I can't be fucking around with the diet. That's the thing. And I've noticed, you know, for me, it's all diet. My body – it's fat. It gets fat, and can't be fooling around and cheating here, cheating there.
No, fuck.
That's what it is for me. And actually, for me, I think cardio works. Some people don't. I mean, I think cardio really works for me, man. If I hear people diet, get ripped and lean, and don't do cardio. I don't think I could ever do that. I mean, maybe there's someone out there who could put me on a program and would be able to do it. I don't think I could do that. I don't think – I mean, I have to do cardio.
Guys that are a little more endomorphic naturally, they'll have to do it. It's just a matter of energy output. Like your energy output has got to be – it's got to be greater than the food intake. And if you got a slower metabolism and a propensity to put on a lot of body fat all the time – then you gotta do cardio, man. You can't.
That's
you
me.
Can't
really get Fred it. Flintstone.
You know, we're not all like John Meadows. You know, the guy who has no cardio, grainy as fuck. You know,
or a lean. Yeah. So let's. What do you say we knock some of these questions out so you can get to the
knocking
some head down.
Yeah, some thumb breaking. Sure.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, NFL talk. Looks like my Eagles, real quick, my Eagles are going to be playing the Atlanta Falcons at home.
Ooh, that'll be
good. Yeah, so honestly, that sounds bad, but that's the matchup I wanted because I think they're beatable, and I did not want to play the New Orleans Saints. They're hot right now.
So the
Falcons beat the Rams last night, so the Birds – and they were in sunny California playing, looking all good. It ain't going to be fun them coming here in this fucking cold weather for sure.
That, so are they playing today?
Yeah, they played that game was last night. The Eagles play them next weekend.
Next weekend.
So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So it'll be Saturday at 4:30. So anyway, yeah. So I'm actually – they played the Rams last night, the Falcons, and won. And that's what I wanted because of all the teams in matchup, I think the Eagles can beat them even with – mediocre Nick Foles. Hopefully he just hands the ball off and we just run it on him and our defense pops him. Cause
damn,
it's going to be cold out there. If it's this cold, man, it's going to be a nasty game.
It's going to start warming up. Like even here, it's going to start, like I say warming up, but like 30 degrees.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, to play football. If you've been standing out in this shit, that's like a blessing.
Yeah. It's like, wow, it's like springtime out here, you know?
I'm wearing short sleeves.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. But yeah, I stopped after the Lions were eliminated.
Yeah, they were done.
And then their coach got fired.
They gave him a chance though. He had long enough.
He actually had a couple of good seasons there, you know. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah, he's a decent coach.
Jim Caldwell.
You just gotta make a change.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, let's get to some questions over here on the boards. If you have any questions, and people, you guys have been doing just a killer job, man, posting all your questions on the boards and not using the email. Not that we're deterring you from using the email. It's just us. It's so much easier here on the forums. You go to forums.advicesradio.com, click on bodybuilding discussion. That should lead you to a page where, you know, you've got all the shows essentially listed at the top. It should be a sticky for clinical muscle. You just go in there and post away, man, and we'll take care of you. That's the best way for us. So we are at forum.advicesradio.com, and let's get started here with a question from Special K, junior member. I think we're all junior members except for Scott.
Yeah, McCown. I just scrolled down, saw my name. It said junior member. Scott, that's mess. I think you're a noob member, it says, maybe.
I'm a noob because I think I posted like once. So
or junior. Yeah. I'm a junior. Junior member.
Junior.
Everybody's junior members, I think.
That's what it looks like. Yeah. And then all right, so here's a question from Special K. He says he's got some stats here, right? 40 years old, HRT for 1 year, 100 milligrams a week Pfizer test sip, brings me up to about 900 serum, resulting in 22 free. Estrogen is about 27. That's actually pretty good. 0.5 milligrams of Arimidex once a week. 1,000 IU of Pregnal, which is HCG. He takes that, 1,000 IUs a week. 8 weeks on, 4 weeks off. Okay, that's good. Recently added 25 milligrams of Proviron every day. I wonder if this guy's Canadian. We'll do this 4 weeks on, 4 weeks off. I plan to add Primo to the mix in mid-2018. My goals are purely performance and feel-good based. So here's the questions for the show. And he's got a bunch of questions here. So let's kind of just tackle one at a time. What do you think about that, Doc?
Yeah, we'll tackle them.
What are your guys' general thoughts on Primo? As a medical professional,
that's the issue.
And you constantly prescribing Primo to everybody. What are your thoughts?
I think if your doctor were to prescribe you prescription, you know, pharmacy grade Primo, and depending on your goals, I mean, I think that would be, you know, a low side effect, you know, non-estrogenic sort of nice addition. I mean, if it was real, I mean, but if you're getting this stuff from, you know, Joe Blow, you know, who knows what you're getting. So, and then again, I'm not sure what he says his goals are to feel good. I'm not sure what that means. But yeah, I mean, my thoughts on that is if it's prescribed, then that's a great thing. I mean, but I just have a feeling it's not. So I'm going to let you discuss the next question. And what do you think about that? You know, go over that one too.
Primo's an interesting compound. I think it's really misunderstood. A lot of people think that you got to go really high dosing on Primo, and it's just not the case. It's just it's one of those that kind of takes time, kind of like EQ. EQ's got a really long half-life, and it takes time to see anything from EQ. Primo's kind of the same way, and you don't need that much of it, man. I'm not a good example. I'm really sensitive to all DHTs, and they mess me up pretty badly. But Primo, from what I've seen, right. you don't need that much, man. 300 milligrams, you know, I've seen that work really, really nicely over the course of time. You gotta do a long cycle of that to go. But general thoughts are just like it's a good anabolic. It's very low side effect for most people, but you got to keep an eye, man. You don't know. For this guy, he looks like he's not a hyper excreter of aromatase or anything. He's, you know, he's using 0.5 milligrams of ADEX once a week.
And he only uses 100 milligrams of test. His his baseline, and he's getting a great 900.
Yeah, that's a higher end, and that's and you know, 1,000 IUs of Pregnal a week, that's very, very estrogenic on its own also, you know. So so yeah, it doesn't sound like he's a real hyper aromatizer or anything. He's very low aromatizing. That's great. So Primo should work pretty well for him. I you know, he added Proviron, which is essentially it's almost the same thing. It's like oral Primo, you know. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Along the same lines. It's you know, the DHT type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I don't think that you know, you should put too many DHTs at once. But he is only using 4 weeks on, 4 weeks off for the
Proviron. And from what I've seen, Proviron at 25 is probably not the, you know, the, it's on the lower side. I've seen people go higher than that.
Oh,
you know,
for
even,
sure.
It's
sure.
I'm saying not prescribed, which I'm not condoning. I'm just saying I've read a lot of stuff on, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. But you know, he mentioned how long do you think, you know, what would be a, and you mentioned longer. So he says 8 weeks. What do you think about that? Do you think this, I'm going to read this question he has. Do you think this compound needs to be run longer cycles, or will be an 8 week cycle suffice?
No. When you've got longer esters like that, you've got to have a longer cycle. Because, I mean, you know, by that fourth week, you're just hitting a really nice blood level to where you can start, you know, where anabolism really starts kicking in, you know. So 8 weeks, that only gives you 4 weeks to grow. That's no good.
I'm agreeing, but not agreeing. I think no. I mean, he says I think if this is prescribed and it's a real, I mean, I think that's a sort of low side effect, nice addition to what he wants to do, is feel good in performance sort of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. You're not going to turn in the Incredible Hulk, but you know,
no. What you'll notice is you'll notice some growth. You'll notice like rounder muscles. You'll notice like he'll notice. I mean, this guy in particular, from what he's telling me, what I can tell from his. From his profile here, he's probably going to get like harder looking, much harder looking, rounder looking. You know,
say that might be something. Like he doesn't mention his body fat levels or anything like that. I mean, if he's not super lean, he may not really notice much.
With DHT type anabolics, it's like you got to be leaner to be able to appreciate what it's doing for you. You know?
Yeah. No, that's he doesn't mention that. But yeah. Like I said, I can't say much on that. That's why I let you answer a lot of that one, because I'm not sure where we prescribe that in America. I don't think we do. But again, a lot of people from all over the world listen to our shows. So I don't know where he's from. So totally, if it's legal and he's getting it from a doctor, then, you know, go for it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't. He says, you know, what have you heard regarding minimum effective doses? I'd say 250 milligrams to 300 milligrams is going to be like a minimum effective dose, I think. That's per week. So I don't know, man. You might respond better to even lower than that. You don't know. It's hard to say. You have to get blood work, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah.
But there is no blood work that'll show Primo. It'll just show, you know, test levels that are out of control,
right,
really.
Exactly.
So he says, am I an idiot, or should I and should I consider something else? I don't know, man. He's you know, this is purely for performance, which is how he feels in the gym, I'm guessing. And feel good, which is, I'm probably, you know, he wants to look good, feel good, that sort of thing. I don't know. I don't know that I would suggest something else. I if you're getting real Primo, I'd stay with the real stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was saying a minute ago. I mean, if it's prescribed, then you're getting – because if you're getting – honestly, so let's talk about the other side of it real quick is, if it's not prescribed and you're getting it from wherever – it's probably not real.
Not real. There's a really,
unless you're
98% chance that yours not real.
Yeah. It's a high likelihood. So if you're getting prescribed and you live in a country where it's legal, I think, like I said, I think that would be good for his goals. You know, like I don't have a problem with that if it's legal.
Arnold was a Primo guy. He loved his Primo, from what I understand. And but back then it was fucking, you could walk in any pharmacy and pick up
right.
a Primo.
Yeah, that's the difference. That's the difference right there.
Yeah. So you know, when they stopped, you know, when they, you know, I think it was like in the mid 90s or whatever.
Yeah, early 90s or so.
When they become like scheduled substances, you know, yep. It's like all that stuff left the pharmacies and all the shit went to China, essentially, and you can't trust Chinese Primo, man, because chances are it's probably just like, I don't know, it could be Masteron, it could be Deca. You know, I've had Primo before that I thought was Primo that I knew was fucking Deca. I knew because I knew the side effects. I was like, no. I know what this is. You know, it was like fucking 15 pounds in 2 days of bloat. I was like, I don't think so.
That's not going to happen with that.
Yeah. That's not to say that Primo didn't bloat me, because Primo actually does bloat me too, but not to that degree, not the Deca degree. You know?
Yeah. You would know.
Yeah, you know.
And then you start having, you know, penis problems. Then, yep. You know, it's definitely, yeah.
Yep. Next question here. Actually, it's not a question. It's a check-in. So this is from a member who posted a question maybe a couple of episodes ago, right? He says...
I think he's just keeping us up to date on
good.
Some stuff.
Good. He says, hey, 1.7 doctors, I'm the 20-year-old that has low test levels from 3 episodes ago. Okay, so there he goes. He said it for us. To confirm, I was just eating lean meats and veggies, no carbs or fats. This is a check-in from my last question for with you both. Okay. He says, my levels were testosterone 281 nanograms per deciliter and TSH was 1.42, and this was back in August 31st. He says, you guys told me to get a full metabolic panel. I did, and it shows TSH 1.4, LH 1.8, milli units? I don't know what MIU is. Where's this guy from?
I don't know, but I think that's maybe a typo.
Okay, all right. 1.8, I think it's – okay, so his prolactin was 5.6 nanograms per deciliter, testosterone 253, so it's not a whole lot difference than it was going on. He says his free testosterone is 39.7. They did not allow me to check my estradiol levels because they thought I was fishing for problems, but I just wanted to know the truth. Also, the nurse did not know the difference between total testosterone and free testosterone. Oh, that's a shame. I'm still looking to stay natural, but please feel free to elaborate for an unnatty treatment.
Well, he's 20 years old and his testosterone level is 253. I mean, like I said, I don't know where he's from either. I can't remember the question, you know, like before.
Me neither.
What the whole situation was.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, if he's having symptoms and this is and that's real, that's kind of low, you know. I mean, I would think even
find
though his free testosterone is not bad actually, but I would if they I don't know what they mean by fishing for problems, but. Yeah, if his testosterone level is 253 at 20 years old, that's significantly low. I mean, my concern was there'd be another issue if I was his doctor. I would want to, you know, look into why that is, or if not, he may want to find another doctor and look into replacement. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, for sure, I'd look for a doctor, man. For sure, I would. Like, but also, I don't remember what his symptoms were. Like, I've seen natties with like lower end testosterone, like 300, 400, like you know, upper 200s, and you would never know because they would just walk around with boners all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like whatever testosterone that they were producing, they were using it pretty well. You know, so if this guy's having sexual dysfunction, depression, that sort of thing. There's no reason why any medical professional should shut you down on this, man. They should be more than happy to help you out and get you feeling good again. Go find another doctor ASAP.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not talking, you may even want to just get an endocrinologist and have them look at it. They may find another reason for your low testosterone. That's fixable. You know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of primaries, they look at your labs. They look at you and the labs. You know, don't look terrible to them, and they go, he's fine. You know, and but 253, even I think LabCorp changed their. We had a question about LabCorp.
Oh, that's right. They lowered all their standards, and
I believe that's even below what they changed it to. Right? I mean, I think that's lower than I can't remember the exact numbers off my head, but I believe that's lower than they changed it to. So, he says elaborate unnatty treatment. I'm not sure what he means by that, but I guess our suggestion is, you know, I would. Search out another doctor who would entertain getting replacement or at least find something, look for, you know, something deeper of an issue for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That yeah. You know, and if that fails, man, there's HRT clinics over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. And they'd be happy to help you because you are someone in need. You're a 20-year-old kid You know what I mean? With low testosterone. Yeah. That's fucked up. That in and of itself is more than enough of a reason to prescribe testosterone. You know? So.
Yeah, that's real. That's low, you know?
Yeah. So find another doc, find an HRT clinic, but get it handled, man, and you're going to feel so much better, you know? Next question from the boards. Can you guys discuss external hemorrhoids and how one knows if they have them or not? Causes and symptoms, best treatment options, including OTC or medically speaking. Thanks.
Okay. well, this is clinical muscle. So with the, and you know, I gotta be honest, I would venture to say that a lot of bodybuilders probably have hemorrhoid problems.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons is you know, all the weight bearing, you know, constant Valsalva, really, you know, you're mm-hmm. bearing down, you know, guys pushing 700 pound squats and things mm-hmm. like that. And,
leg press is a major culprit for hemorrhoids, just so people know.
Yeah, it's like you're pushing it right out. So can you guys discuss? Okay. So external hemorrhoids, there's two kinds of hemorrhoids, meaning that may be why he says just external, but there's internal hemorrhoids, meaning above the anal verge, they're inside your rectum. You can't see them from the outside. So they're usually diagnosed if someone's having like painless rectal bleeding. Usually the bleeding is minor. You wipe the toilet paper, and even internal hemorrhoids can still cause some itching and some burning and discomfort, but generally they can be asymptomatic. And the only way people find them is, bleeding, you know, you wipe and there's some blood on toilet paper. No, just real quick, rectal bleeding is ever considered normal. So, but in general, if you are having little bits of blood and you wipe yourself and you see it on the toilet paper, that is really highly suspicious for just hemorrhoids. Now, if you shit and there's red blood or black stools in the bowl, like the water is red, that's never normal. So external hemorrhoids are basically varicose veins of your bottom. You know, like people have the big bulges in the bottoms of their legs.
Yeah.
External hemorrhoids are basically dilated vessels, dilated veins that are protruding through the thin skin of the anus. And then they're usually caused by, in bodybuilding, you could just, we already said it, it's pressure. And in general, though, it's lack of fiber, it's poor diet, it's straining when you have a stool, you know. And then other problems, like people with liver problems can get them because the blood shifts different areas and you end up with these big veins. So anyway, that's what external hemorrhoids are. They're basically dilated veins, usually from some kind of increasing pressure. Pregnant ladies, weightlifting a lot, fat people, but most of all, it's fiber. You're straining with constipation, straining with defecation. That's what makes most people get them in the long run. And then how do you know if you have them or not? Well, you could have just a couple simple, itching and burning with, you know, having stools, or just in general of your bottom, you know, itching or burning, seeing some blood on the toilet paper when you wipe. I call it angry ass, where your bottom is like on fire. So that, and then you can actually see them. I mean, it sounds crazy, but if an external hemorrhoid, if it's swollen enough, you could put your finger right on your bottom and you'll feel what feels like a grape, a lump. And it's usually soft and, you know, sort of reducible, but there's a lump there. And, you know, if you wanted to take it a step further, you could look with a mirror and you can see them. They look like bulges, like veins, and you're coming from your bottom. It's mm-hmm. really obvious.
Yeah.
So that's what an external hemorrhoid is. And that's how you'd know you have them: itching, burning, maybe bleeding, and just visualization. You can see them.
Yeah. I've had them bad enough to where like there was blood in the toilet bowl. Like the toilet bowl was red.
Yeah, that's
bad. They burst. Like I've had some bad ones before, and it took forever to stop bleeding too. So I just had to sit there and fucking let it drip dry.
That's a really bad one.
Yeah, it was a bad one. I had to go get it looked at, but it turned out to be okay. You know what you do? I mean, if you do have hemorrhoids, don't use toilet paper. Get yourself some fucking wet wipes and be gentle, because you will rupture them. Toilet paper was notorious for rupturing hemorrhoids, especially if you're if you're a bodybuilder, you're shitting 3-4 times a day. That's a lot of wiping, you know? And I'm not a big guy. I used to be pretty strong. So there's a lot of Valsalva going on. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean that was heavy deadlifting, heavy squatting, and at a weight of sub 200 pounds. Yeah, that's a lot of weight bearing and stress Valsalva in that area. So yeah, got to be careful, man. There's unfortunately, if you want to train hard and lift heavy weights, that it just kind of comes with the territory. You know what I mean? Especially if you're pounding a bunch of food at the same time.
Yeah. He says best treatment options. In general, it's diet, increase your fiber. Mm-hmm. You want bulky stools. You don't want hard stools.
Yeah.
Over-the-counter treatments like Preparation H and things like that. But if they get bad enough, they may need surgery or to be opened and drained, like Vijay's saying. His did that by itself, but sometimes you got to go to the emergency room if they get thrombosed, which means they're stuck, they're hard, and they're painful.
Ooh,
super painful.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Yeah,
that's when if you develop severe pain, and it's not soft, and the lump I'm talking about, the hemorrhoid, that's a thrombosed hemorrhoid. They sometimes need to be opened or ligated or whatever. But in general, fiber, don't strain. Preparation H, sitz baths. Doctors can prescribe hydrocortisone creams and suppositories that can keep them sort of at bay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's my hemorrhoid.
Yeah. One of the best things. I mean, if you do got them, use the butt wipes, use the wet wipes, the flushable kind. And the number one thing is to just keep the area clean, because you can get a real fucking nasty infection down there.
If you don't
keep yourself clean down there and you've got hemorrhoids, all it takes is the tiniest little burst, little tiny trickle of blood and a piece of shit to rub up against it, and you're in trouble. You know what I mean? That's it.
Yeah, no doubt. And if they do that, you can get left with like skin tags and fistulas, and then that all ends up in other kind of problems. Yeah.
Oh, man, it's a bad path. It just compounds. It just gets worse and worse. So keep it clean, man. Always keep yourself clean. I always have butt wipes handy. I don't know what I'd do without butt wipes. Got to have them.
Yes. Yep. You got to have the butt wipe.
Yeah. Next question. Hello, 3.5 doctors. Hey, we're gaining. That's
3.5. Yeah. That's a jump.
That's a huge jump. What are your thoughts on the Trosh as a vehicle for delivery medication? So he's talking about sublingual Trosh. He says that my doctor uses a compounding pharmacy that produces oxandrolone in Trosh form. I did some research on the Trosh as a method of administration and found that it seems very comparable in terms of rate of absorption to oral capsules and tablets. 30 to 50% of the medication seems to be absorbed through the buccal mucosa, according to the studies I've looked at. And that's basically just the inner mouth, the lower gum area is what he's talking about. He says, but I don't see any benefits to that characteristic compared to a tablet/capsule. Some claim this causes the medication to avoid first pass metabolism, but this just seems incorrect to me. Any thoughts on advantages or disadvantages to Trosh's, or why some compounding pharmacies opt for the Trosh's instead of tablets and tablets? The first thing I can tell you about that is because it's probably cheaper to produce Trosh's than it is to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It may be easier for them also to tailor the dosing.
Yes, that's it. That's another thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Because most of the time the reason why like hormone replacement doctors and people who prescribe TRT use compounding pharmacies because if they're doing a really good job at prescribing you for you, meaning you're profile, the doses are going to be all kinds of different. Some people may even have really strange doses of things, and so it makes so they can really tailor that. I think that's probably why they like to do that, the cheap thing too.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know about avoiding first pass metabolism, because anything oral is going to be most stuff anyways is going to be 17 alpha alkylated if it's an oral steroid. And so as soon as it hits a bloodstream, it's got to hit the liver. It has to. You know what I mean? Whether you're eating it and it's going through the digestive tract or it's like injectable Winstrol versus oral Winstrol. It doesn't fucking matter. Just because it's, you inject it and it goes straight into the bloodstream, it still has to clear through the liver. You're not avoiding any first pass, second pass stuff, you know? So, yeah. You know, it just, it's got to go through the liver because it needs to be dealkylated.
Yeah. Right. You know, I think he, you know, in his case, he said it's oxandrolone.
Yeah.
And I think for that, you know, the Trosh would be something that may be fine. You know, I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference whether you took a pill or that.
Yeah.
But I do know that I wouldn't want testosterone replacement done with a Trosh.
No, fuck
you
no,
know,
no.
The levels would just be all over the place. But I do know they do that. You know, they have, I mean, I don't know if they do it as much, you know, now, but they, I mean, there are sublingual and buccal sort of compounds, you know, for testosterone. But I think for this situation, it would probably be fine. And I don't know if there would be a great deal of difference between a pill. And like you said, I think it's going to get, you know, you're going to still get the same amount of medication either way. But I think the reason why they do it is, again, probably it's less expensive and they can tailor the dose a little different, mm-hmm. you know, sort yeah. of more tailored. That's why they're yeah. compound pharmacies.
A little more precise. A lot of times when you're shoving stuff into a capsule or tablet form, you know, you can be off quite a bit. So, that's definitely the case with these compounding pharmacies. As far as absorption, I don't think that there's any difference, really. You know, you swallow it, you let it dissolve, whatever. Once it hits the bloodstream, it's got to pass the liver a couple times anyways.
I think if anything, sublingual administration is a little bit faster than in your stomach.
Sure.
I mean, that would be the biggest benefit. It is a little more sort of fast across the soft tissue as opposed to going through the stomach, having to get digested and all that stuff. So I think so sublingual was a little faster than oral, mm-hmm. sort of swallowing it.
Yeah.
I don't know if in the end, sort of, if there's a huge difference in outcome.
Yeah.
I don't think it would make that big of a difference.
No. I don't know. There's no difference there. I don't think. Nothing appreciable anyways, you know, across the board, you know.
We use a lot of dissolvable stuff for vomiting and stuff. And that's just because you don't want it in their stomach because then the medicine gets puked back up. It's not doing its job. So that's where that comes into play too. But
I had the Trosh's of oxandrolone also. And
I saw this question and thought you – I, for some reason, thought you had experience with this sort of. That's right, you did.
Yeah, I didn't notice any difference between, you know, doing that or doing an oral Anavar. You know, it was no different. No different to me.
And it was just a dissolvable, right?
Yeah, I would just stick it under my. Let it kind of like simmer, you know, in my lower lip, you know, like you got a bunch of chew packed in there, you know, and then it would get small enough to where I'd be like, I'm just swallowing it. I'll just swallow it, you know. So it doesn't really matter. It, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, and I'm sure with the saliva and everything, some's going through, some's going in your stomach. So, yeah, I think it's fine. And I don't think, like I said, in the end, I don't think you're going to get more bang for your buck either way. Or, you know, I think they produce it like that, just what we said. You know? Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Hey, Docs, been listening to the show since it went by another name over on Project Bodybuilding. Old school. He says, I'm very happy that after Dr. Ogden was tossed around like the town whore in a temporary barracks, Dr. Veej was the one to finally put a ring on it. You two make an awesome team. Well, thank you. I tend to agree.
No, that's funny that he saw me that way. But yeah, no, that's how I saw myself.
So you're the woman in our relationship, apparently.
Yeah, I am. I guess I'm the freaking taker.
Yeah. He says, my question is regarding lipids, and in particular, how much to worry if a temporary cycle crashes your HDL? For all intents and purposes, let's say this was all doctor prescribes. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I have attached several files. Oh, okay, he's got a bunch of stuff to look at here. He says the first two pages, yep. The first couple are my pre-cycle labs. The second two pages are my intra-cycle labs. And the last two are my post-cycle labs. Wow, this is pretty thorough. And then he says, my post-cycle labs, about 4 months post-cycle. So he's got three, we'll be on the next, but he's going to have another post, he says, because the form limits you to five attachments.
Right below it. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. I see it. He says, as you can see, my natural HDL is quite good, usually anywhere from 60 to 70 milligrams per deciliter. If I am not taking anything or if I am just taking a test, been up to 500 milligrams weekly, there's no change in HDL. However, oral anabolics absolutely destroy my HDL. In these particular labs, I was taking tesnanthid at 500 milligrams and Anavar at 25 milligrams a day. The first and second labs are about 8 weeks apart. So Anavar took my HDL from 64 to 24 in those 8 weeks. As you can see, from my post-cycle labs, my HDL recovered to 68. Herein lies my question. If your HDL is in the 60s or low 70s year-round and your overall lipids are great, how much does an eight-week period once a year matter? Keep in mind, my diet is typical, bro-friendly, clean foods, rice, oatmeal, fish, egg whites, lean chicken, etc. This is the only side effect I've ever seen on my lab work. I am fairly lucky in that I've never had any hematocrit, hemoglobin, RBC issues, although that may be also because I've never gone above 500 milligrams injectable. My solution is just to avoid orals in general. I don't think I've met one yet that doesn't crash my HDL. But simultaneously, my body responds quite well to them in terms of my physical goals. He says, I'm 27 years old, 6 foot tall, about 200 pounds when these labs were taken at 12 to 15% body fat. If you can't open the images, remember to sign in. Yes.
Yeah. No, actually, I was hoping you signed in. I was even then, thinking, yeah. I did sign in this time. Thank you.
I must have been signed in this whole time.
What's that?
I said I must have been signed in this whole time because they just popped up for me. No problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think now that we've signed in, it's kind of leaving us signed in. But this is a good question, man. It's a lot to look at real quick. But so his question is, should he worry about his HDL going down that low for 8 weeks a year or so? I mean, did he mention how many times a year he's doing that?
Once a year, he says.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at his labs real quick because I didn't really get a chance. So first of all, in cholesterol, you could purely look at numbers, but we know that particle size makes a huge difference too.
Yeah, right. Right.
So we don't have that kind. He didn't get we don't have that kind of information. So we'll just do purely numbers, you know. I mean, he's walking around with a 60 to 70 HDL all year long.
Yeah, regular. Yeah.
Yeah. And then his HDL at its worst is going down into 24 at this, right? That was mm-hmm. the lowest one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing that right now.
And, yeah. And while it's that low on, what was he on an oral? You said Anavar?
25 milligrams of Anavar a day.
And while he's on that, all his other labs look completely good too.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the only thing that's skewed, which is pretty amazing actually. His liver enzymes aren't up at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look, I can't say there's no health risk to that, but I can tell you this. I'll put it this way. I see people, you know, in my career, I've seen people, you know, for 10 years who or more who's cholesterol, specifically HDL, is in the 20s, mid-30s. And I mean, you know, I don't see them dropping like flies. You know, they just have bad genetic cholesterol, you know? HDL is just low. I think the big thing that I would be more concerned about – by the way, I keep looking at his labs and I keep having to restart over because I keep forearm. So I'm back on it now. I think the big thing, even bigger than his HDL – because look, HDL is awesome. HDL is a great thing, but it's like the cleanser, you know what I mean? But in his case, he has virtually no LDL either, ever. Yeah. His LDL is great all the time.
All the time, right. That's the culprit. So,
yes. Yeah. So, I'm more concerned if this guy had high LDL and his HDL would be crashing to 24, you know, 8, you know, 3-4 times a year. Mm-hmm. So to be honest, man, I think you're, you know, I don't think that's – I mean, I could see people doing – people who would gain 30 pounds for 8 weeks a year, and maybe their cholesterol – HDL cholesterol is going to drop to the 20s from 60, and then they're going to lose weight, get in shape, and things are going to look normal again. But in your case, I like I said, I can't condone or any – you know, like that. You know, this is just advice. I don't think that's a big deal. Your, you know, your cholesterol, even your LDLs are constantly good. His highest one, I think, is 88. And I mean, less than 100 is phenomenal. His total cholesterol is 162. He has no triglyceride problems, 50. So this guy stays in relatively great health, you know, except 8 weeks a year, his HDL drops to 52. You could do that eating too much HDL drops to 24. You could do that eating too much junk food, you know, for a period of time. So, you know, knowing that people do what they do and trying to do it as safely and healthy as you can, I think you're doing that, man. I don't think it's going to be a huge change in your overall health.
Yeah, I agree totally with the doc. I mean, all your other values look beautiful, actually. You know, when you've got no liver issues going on, no liver enzyme, and that's on 25 milligrams. That Enivar is a hell of a culprit for destroying your lipid profile.
It's really sort of under. What's the word?
I know what you're trying to say, because I'm trying to say the same thing. Like it's more of a culprit than people like to believe they are. Like it's
right. You know, you read about it, you think it's not going to do anything to you.
Yeah. It's low side effect. You're not going to have it. Yes. Yeah. No, not the case. It's an oral stick. It's an oral anabolic. It's going to have the same properties as any other oral anabolic. And sometimes it's even harsher on your blood profile than some of the other anabolics are. So why does that crash your HDL? You know, just to kind of like put things into perspective. So you've got these anabolic hormones. What does your HDL do? HDL is your high density lipoproteins. Those are transporting these hormones across the cell membrane for you, which is why they're taking a dip in your snapshot of time. Okay, so at that particular time, yeah, you're low because your body is utilizing HDLs to shuttle those steroid hormones into the cell. All right, so they have something to do with the binding on the cell surface to where they can go into the nuclei. That's what they're used for. So it makes sense why HDLs drop. Naturally, your LDLs will go up as a result. But even with him, like, he's on the low end of high. You know what I mean? When he's on cycle, like, he's got like 107 value, where your range is like 99 is the high end. You know, that's like nothing. It's not even anything to really bat your eye at.
Right.
A lot of these cholesterol issues, honestly, are just a bunch of overblown shit. Anyways, I think personally, but you know, obviously, if you've got a high value there, that's something to take note of. You know, it's going to tell you something. You know, you've got to learn something from something. So. But for the most part, with this guy and his particular values, I just don't see a problem, man. I think he's fine.
Listen,
he's great.
Here's the funny thing. His worst cholesterol panel is the one you just said.
Yeah.
His total's 140. This is on 500 of testosterone and 25 of Anavar, right? Is
yes.
that what he said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
His worst cholesterol, his total was 146, triglyceride 75, HDL 24, and LDL 107.
That's fucking nothing, man. That's
actually good for some people who aren't on anything. There's heavy people who have worse.
You can take any fucking troll from Walmart, get their blood work done, check their cholesterol, and this guy would still kick their asses in his low state.
So yeah, you know, and then if I looked at this and I didn't know he was on anything, I would say, you know what, man, maybe you should just increase your fiber,
maybe add
a little niacin. But overall, things look pretty good. You know, how was your dad's HDL? Did your dad always have low HDL kind of thing? Hey, have a glass of red wine at night, you know,
that kind of
thing.
Yeah,
because it's really not that horrible. I mean, people look at HDL and we all would love it to be, you know, if it's 40, if it's over 40, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
The higher, the better. But now, man, the real focus should be LDL and particle size.
Sure, particle size for sure.
For the badness happens, but we don't have that information. But his LDLs are even as worse as LDLs. I would take that. Like 107, good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't have diabetes, and I'm assuming he doesn't either. We're diabetics, we want it, you know, lower, but it's really as low as we can get it. But, yeah. Like I said, I don't know if you're taking some other kind of supplement, health supplements mm-hmm. that are helping you, or you got really good genetics, and you're just still young.
Just
he's
genetics,
only
27. Yeah.
Obviously, keep getting your blood work done because things can change as you get older quickly.
And I guarantee you he's white. Right? Just by looking at these, again, he's definitely white. He's got, you know, beautiful values there all over. So, yeah, man. Don't, I wouldn't worry about
it. Someone who's trying to keep things healthy and trying to, you know, and you know, get the most out of their bodybuilding without killing themselves, I think this is a good one.
Yeah. Yep. So, there you go, man. Let's tackle the next question here, Docs. What is your take on bro splits versus higher frequency training, such as two times a week body part? Example, lower, upper, rest. So he's doing like one day lower, one day upper, one day rest, and then go back to lower, and then rest, and then upper, and then rest, and slow, you know, so on and so forth. And thanks for answering the finasteride question. I decided never to take it. And once I came off the trend, the hair started to get thicker and the dandruff went away. So we helped somebody, Doc.
Oh, wow. Listen, anytime we can tell someone to come off the, get off their trend below, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, that's good advice. You know what I mean? I feel like that's like A+ advice. What's the guy's using trend and his hair's falling out. Stop using the trend. Boom. Problem fixed.
Dandruff. His hair got thick and the dandruff went away.
Yeah.
The finasteride. Actually, I remember the finasteride question. Yeah, I don't. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not a training guru. So I'm the kind of guy that's always been a basic. We were just talking earlier about, you know, right now because I'm dieting, I'm trying to do a little more high intensity kind of thing where, you know, supersets, drop sets, doing all that. But I've never followed a certain – I've always followed – I don't know if it's – I guess it's considered a bro. I've always done, you know, your basic chest tries, back buys, shoulders, legs, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I've always been someone who's felt like if you've tried lots of stuff and you find something that works for you, do it. You know, and so in this case, if that's what's working for him, I don't know. But you may be able to give a better sort of answer for specifically those kind. I'm not a training guru, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I this is a tough one to answer because, I mean, everyone is so different, so unique. You can take one guy and put him on a high frequency like this guy and he'll grow like a weed. You take another guy and try to do the same thing. And, you know, it all boils down. It doesn't boil down to how much frequency and how much volume you have. It all boils down to how you recover.
Yeah.
What are you recovering from? What is your intensity like? If you feel like you can get two workouts in of the same body part, same chest, you know, twice a week or whatever, and be able to recover from that, that's fucking phenomenal, man. If that's what you like and that works for you, then you do that. There's nothing that anyone can tell you is the right way to do something as far as,
Yeah, in this case, for me, looking at what he's doing, I can tell you right now, so he's doing low, or he I don't know if that's what he's doing, but his example is lower than an upper day, than a rest, and a lower. I can tell you right now that my legs won't be recovered by that fourth day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard.
I guess it would be a fourth day, right? One, two, three, four. Yeah, I could. Yeah, my legs wouldn't be recovered for that. I don't know why. I can barely do. My legs are decent, actually, and I can barely do anything to them, and they get sore as shit, and they take a while to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my shoulders, I could do that every day.
There you go.
Literally.
See? Yeah. So it's different.
I could do shoulders with every workout and nothing, whatever. I wouldn't feel any. I would never have a problem with recovery. So that would be my issue with that. Like you said, if you can, the only way I could do that is if I really, really back down on the intensity, I would have to barely do anything. And I don't know if that's worth it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's honestly for a guy that's not been training very long, you're better off doing the less is more approach. Okay. Like if you've only been training for like a year or two, there's no reason for you to jump into like a high frequency thing. Unless you are recovering so fast and you've got so much energy, you don't know what to do with it, then yeah, go for it. But if you're staying sore in the muscle group that you train, if you're staying sore for like 3 days, 4 days at a time, you clearly, you need to do the bro split. okay?
Right.
Because you're not giving yourself enough. You're only sore for those 3 days. There's a whole other things happening those 3 days after those 3 days. You know what I mean? As far as as far as healing and repair goes. So it's like just because you're not sore anymore, it doesn't mean you're not recovered or you are recovered. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful. You got to play with it, and you got to figure out what's going to work for you.
I guess I've always done your typical sort of split, you know, like I said, you know, and sometimes I'll go – mine's on a four-day split, a four-day rotation like I've always said though. I'll do, and it just keeps rotating. But I've never said I'm going to do upper body, lower body, upper body, you know, so everything gets trained 2 days a week. Plus when I've dabbled and tried stuff like that in the past – this is just me. I just feel like – I'm not doing enough volume per body part, I guess, when I do it like that. So, you know, you do two exercises for this, two exercises. I just can't train chest, shoulders, tris, bis, back all in one day. Or, you know what I mean? Like something like that.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of people that get away with it. And really, say for example, that you are a slow recoverer, okay? And you are doing, like, a bro split, and that seems to be working for you pretty well. You take that volume and you divide it, and then you can do a higher frequency. You know what I mean?
And that's exactly what I have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get away with that. But see, that's different. That's like you're still doing the total volume is the same. Your frequency is up, but your total volume is the same. Now, there's some people who can do high volume and high frequency, and that works for them. And, you know, it's like I can't prescribe that to anybody, you know, unless I know I've been working with them for over a year and know their body. You know what I mean? That's a tough one because not everybody is that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't recover fast enough.
No, there's no fucking way. For me personally, I guess I use a bro split, but that's what works for me. And my volume at the moment is very low. Like I'm talking 12 working sets max.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm recovering very quickly. I'm not destroying my joints. I look better when I train that way. Like my muscles stay way fuller. I stay way rounder, you know, less depleted, less cramping, you know, that sort of thing. So those are good biomarkers for me. So take that into consideration when you are choosing between a bro split and a higher frequency type training protocol, you know.
You gotta figure out. It's hard to say. You gotta figure out what works for you.
Yeah,
you know,
a lot. A lot of times you gotta keep looking in the mirror and keep doing progress photos because you'll see changes in your body with that high frequency stuff. Like holy shit, you're like I'm so flat. Like I look terrible. I look tired. You know, those little biomarkers like that tell you a lot. You know, so.
Yeah.
That's not something that I would recommend for just anybody. That's something that takes time and experience to kind of.
Yeah, I know one thing. I could never do a lower body day three times a week. I mean, there's no way.
No. technically, I do like lower body exercise day twice a week. But my intensity is very low. I'm just going for a pump. I'm not taking things to failure. You know what I mean? So my overall volume is still pretty low. And my intensity is not that high for leg training stuff. And so I'm able to recover from that pretty good while maintaining the integrity of my joints. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
Yeah. So that kind of gives you just that, you know, Doc and I just gave you kind of examples of what those frequency training, high frequency versus bro splits, and what'll work for somebody, what won't work for somebody. So just take it with a grain of salt. You really got to experiment.
Yeah, definitely take it with a grain of salt for me. Like I said, I'm a doctor. I'm here to do the doctor stuff, and I've been also training for a long time, but I'm definitely not, you know, a guru on that kind of stuff. So, but I think we've all been doing it long enough to know, you know, it really comes down to what works for you.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many different programs out there for people to, you know, you got Fortitude Training, you got Meadows, you got DC Style, you got all these different kinds of training, and you got to figure out which one works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe none of them will. Maybe you need to do something yourself, you know, make up something.
Or tennis. You know, it might be a different sport altogether for you. You don't even know.
yeah, that's where I'm leaning with me. I'm starting to think it's not for me at all.
Yeah. Oh, man. Did you see that? I sent you that picture of Justin Compton at 250 pounds, like pretty recent. And like,
yeah, that's just
he's
not
just a fucking Brahma bull. Like, he's just like his triceps just hanging. Like,
know,
men's
I,
are
I don't
hanging.
Even know why I sent that back to you and said zoom in on that, because I don't even know. His tricep hang look like my – maybe look like my hamstring. Maybe. Like, it might be better than my hamstring.
His tricep hang is better than my hamstring. Way better.
No, there's no doubt about it. That thing looked like a big – and, you know, it's not – it just looks solid and hard and tight. And it's – that fucking is a great – that's a great picture you sent.
Yeah.
And his waist looks small too.
Yeah, and that's
him. That was a recent picture, right, from his Instagram?
Right, because he's not super huge right now. He's just kind of backing off. And that's Justin Compton backing off.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
ridiculous.
That's the quality of elite genetics that it takes. And he's not even Mr. Olympia, man. He's a top 10 Olympian, you know? So it's like, Jesus Christ. These people, these kids that think that are hashtagging IFBB Pro, I'm going
to
be
hashtag on the road to pro.
Just take a look at some of the pros and see how quickly they became pro, and see if you're in the same, you know, the same division, you know?
I mean, you don't even – listen, it's a shame. And they automatically assume it's because he takes more shit than everybody else.
Of course.
I guarantee that's not the case. The guy's gifted. They're all – that's why they're the top ones. Them guys, they sniff weight and food and grow. And then you give them a little bit of weed and feed on top of that.
Uh-huh.
It just turns them into maniacs.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
It's like they only need a sprinkle of this and that, you know. That's why I never understood – I still don't understand this. Why there's always been this Lee Priest like lie? People, I guess him and Boston have always went back and forth about what Lee Priest is lying about what he's done. First of all, why would he ever lie about that? Why does he care?
He's been the most honest guy, the most consistently honest guy in the past 30 years of training.
He does not come off as a guy to me that would give a flying fuck about what anyone thinks if he jammed 6,000 milligrams of everything in himself. He doesn't.
He would say it. He would tell you.
I don't believe him. All you got to do is look at the picture of him at 16 with his mom in the house in the little
shit. Look,
if you know that picture, there's like a rowing machine. I don't even have it. I haven't seen it in 10 years.
Man, I've seen a picture of him at 13, and he looked like better than most guys at 19. You know what I mean?
He was skinny. You know, he was smaller.
Yeah, but all the structure was there. It was all there.
Yeah. Like, you look – that's what we talk about. We've talked about this before, where you see a kid with their shirt off at like a basketball court, and you're like, oh my God. If somebody put that kid in the gym – have you ever seen someone like that? Like, if you put that kid in the gym, he'd fucking explode.
Oh, of course. I've seen it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was – that's what – that separates them. Guys that are doing what we do.
Yeah, that's it, man. Like,
you figure that out pretty quickly, though. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I was a fat kid, so I knew I was never taking that and going into freaking turning into Incredible Hulk. But I enjoyed trying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, I'm not some elite athlete either. You know what I mean? I just like to train, and I always liked to train. I wanted to be a bodybuilder, so I did the best I could with my genetics. You know what I mean? I never an aspiration of becoming an IFBB pro, you know what I mean? And that's with my given genetics already, you know what I mean, which are not bad. And even then, I didn't have any aspiration to become but these kids today, man, you know, it's like I don't know where the delusion comes from, you know? It's crazy.
I don't know. It's like I walked in I went into the bathroom yesterday at my gym. Actually, funny, we're talking about this, and there was these two kids in there, and they're like doing like lat spreads, and dude, they both were like 140 pounds, mm-hmm. and neither of them were, and you know, and the dude's taking pictures of the other kid and their video and their whole work, and I'm like, these guys probably got an Instagram, and they're like, mm-hmm. you know, bro, and I'm like, these guys have no idea,
mm-mm-mm.
like, I'm, mm-mm. yeah,
they're in for a shock. So, just give them another 10 years and see what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was a new picture or old one, but I was just like, holy shit, look at his tricep. But it's just hanging like a
just everything. The musculature across the back, this tiny, tight waist. It's like, why do you even try, man? You know, it's like, you better be doing this because you enjoy it, because you're never going to get there.
and you're saying he's walking around like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it's not fair, but it's fucking cool to see, man. You know?
Yeah, hell yeah. You got to give them props, man. They got the right parents, and they found the right sport for themselves, you know?
Yep. Doc, let's tackle one more question, then I got to get the fuck out of here.
Some heads out.
Yep. He says, question from the boards. Hello, good doctors. Great show and longtime listener. Here we go. Need your feedback because I'm going to take the plunge and accept middle age. I'm 42 and set up blood work tomorrow and doctor appointment with a physician who specializes in TRT the following week. I talked to their patient intake person and got the scoop. In a nutshell, if I am prescribed TRT, their basic regime is set up this way. Over 5 days, Monday and Tuesday, HCG. Wednesday, testosterone cypionate. Thursday and Friday, anastrozole. Thursday and Friday, anastrozole, huh? Any day in between Thursday through Sunday, B-complex injection. They don't even mess with insurance due to all the red tape. They were honest about that. So they quoted me like $2,500 to $3,000 per year, billed monthly for a complete regime. Includes all RX and medications described above. The higher cost is if I do the B complex and blood work at 3 months and 6 month intervals. So what do you think, Dr. Ogden? If you want to call the place and do some intel, he says if you want to call the place,
God assist for him.
They are ehormones.com. Ask for less. Dr. Frank J. Welch, MD, is the doctor I will see. Les is was the very salesy and talkative, but sounded like he knew his stuff. So we didn't do our homework here, but we can still kind of help out with this question. So you know, $2,500 to $3,000 per year. Okay, so right. I mean per year I really don't think that's so awful.
I just did the math on that for the medications and the blood work and the doctor. I mean, as long as he's not, I just did that for the $2,500. That's like $220 a month. Honestly, as hard as it is for people, now it also depends on, you know, his dosing and things like that. But if that's going to cover everything and you can afford it, it's probably better to pay for it than to fucking go through a headache of your insurance. Got to be honest.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, even let's say an average of like $2,700 a year, about $225 a month. Mm-hmm. And if that covers your two rounds of blood work and all your medications, you know what? You don't need a fucking B complex. I was waiting until you were finished to say that. Look, I'm gonna tell you that straight up. Don't be investing in the B complexes. Fucking scam. You don't need that shit.
We'll talk about. I'm gonna add on that in a second.
Yeah. But otherwise, I mean, it looks like a pretty decent protocol. I don't know about, you know, back-to-back anastrozole. I don't know.
I'm not sure about what the thinking process is on that either. But I don't know. I don't think so.
You know, over the – okay. At first, it's going to be fucked up because you're going to be all over the place hormonally. Right. It will balance out probably after about 5 or 6 weeks and your body starts to understand. You're going to get your dose of anastrozole back-to-back on those 2 days and it will balance out. But you're going to be a mess for a little while. I'm just telling you. Bringing it out there for you.
Well, the other thing is, if they, in which most places do, they're going to send you your medicines in the mail. They're giving you an outline of what I guess they suggest. You know, I mean, I think you probably could split your anastrozole twice a week. However, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, or Monday, Wednesday, or you know, something like that. I don't know if it, you know, if he has to go there and get the medicine, they're giving it to him on Thursday and Friday. But I mean, I think you could move that around if you found something that worked a little better for you.
Yeah.
They may just be giving you an outline of what they recommend, sort of thing.
I see.
But the one thing that stood out to me of everything was this, the B complex injection, mm-hmm. especially if it's like just B12, unless you have B12 deficiency documented. You do not need that. That's extra money for them. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Look, everyone wants to make extra money. If I could prescribe B12 injections over the phone right now to you guys, I would tell you'd send me a PayPal for $100. I'd totally do it. But I can't figure out a legal way to do that. So yeah, you don't need that. Save yourself to get your HRT, get your TRT package stuff. And I mean, listen, they're doing the blood work. They're gonna follow you. That $2,500 is only $220 a month for a lot of stuff. And if you can afford it, I don't think that's that bad.
Nah, that's not that bad.
Without saying, I don't know these guys at all. So I'm just saying.
I would ask about I would get rid of that B complex, and I would ask about thyroid. I don't know what his thyroid is being tested at, but chances are long-term use of HCG, long-term use of testosterone, eventually your thyroid is going to take a dump. Just hormonally, that just seems to happen. I'm not 1,000% sure why, but it seems to affect TSH in some way, shape, or form. I think it has something to do with IGF-1 also. I don't know. I don't know the pathways exactly, but I do know that testosterone replacement with HCG, and you're getting those added testosterone and estrogen in your system, your thyroid does take a hit. I don't know exactly why, but I would have them I would have them look at cost for thyroid. Thyroid is very cheap, by the way.
It's dirt cheap.
It's probably cheaper than this goddamn B complex injection. So,
yeah, that's another thing. A lot of weight loss clinics, will, as part of their package, will be phentermine and a B12 injection. And the B12 it doesn't do anything. I mean, in some people's mind, I know plenty of people who say, "Oh no, I got energy from it." Well, either you're low on it or it's placebo effect. It does not do that. But hey, don't get the B complex. That's just money, which is fine. Like I said, if they're selling a product, and it sounds like they're trying their best to do a service and good medicine. So hey, $2,500. It's yearly. So like I said, that's not like it's – if you said that was like a month.
Or even if that was at a six-month increment, that's a fucking lot of money.
Yeah, that'd be a lot. Now I think
– I was like, you better be getting some prescription growth hormone with that shit.
At
that price. Maybe a diamond bracelet every other week or something too,
And like a dinner.
Yeah, at least a dinner before the ass raping, right?
Yeah. You know what I'd be interested in? Oh, this SIPS 1975. I'd be interested in to see his labs, to see what their range, what their cutoffs are.
Me too.
Man, hey, if you got the labs, post them and we would love to, just look at them and, look at the levels, because I'm sure there'd be other people interested, because with the quote normal cutoffs, a lot of the hormone clinics generally go a little higher or low, higher sort of with their ranges that they'll treat. It'd just be good to know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. We didn't do our homework on here, so we do apologize, but we do ask you for a follow-up. Okay. So let us know what the blood work is and what they decide to do with you. And, we can kind of give you our second opinion there, second and third opinion actually. Let's just go from there for now. Doc, I think we're out of time now. What do you got going on? You got to go train today or what? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm gonna go eat and train. I did this whole thing fasting, by the way, Veej.
No shit. Good for you.
Yeah, because I didn't want to mess my meals up. Because you know, when you're dieting, I usually eat my first meal about like 9:30.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can make it. I can make it through this, But so I had total brain fog this whole time. I had a Coke Zero here with me. And some leftover fat burner from this morning on my treadmill. So I think I got through it that way. No, so I'm going to go – I got to do legs today.
Lower body day. Lower body exercise day.
Yeah, I'm going to wear yoga pants. And I might even wear like a Jane Fonda workout outfit.
You should. I will.
I'm going to wear some butt stuff. Good.
Do some butt stuff.
And some quad stuff and try not to And then I can't wait. Stevie has a basketball game today. Big Country's back on the court.
That's right.
Can't wait.
Stevie's been getting into a lot of training lately. He actually looks like he's getting slim. I don't know if he's at that age where, he's starting to shoot up. You know what I mean?
Listen, I got him in the – we're getting him in the gym now.
So it's both probably. He's getting slimmer because he's training more and because he's growing.
Yeah, we went – I underestimate the kid. I took him on the snow day when we couldn't find a gym, we ended up going up to a Planet Fitness because that was the only place that my wife had a membership to. And we all got in there and we did a little family workout, which was cool. It was so much fun. Yeah. I wish I'd have videoed it. Like all four of us were together.
Oh, that's nice.
It was a blast. Like I loved having my kids with me in there. And then, Chrissy's been taking him when I'm at work. And then, we took him on whenever the snow we had was. And yesterday he went to the Retro Fitness with me, and we did back.
Oh, sweet.
We did back, and he did cardio with Chrissy. And, man, he's actually It's amazing. But Chrissy was like, you can just tell the difference in boys. She's like, he's going to be way stronger than me in like a month.
Yeah.
She's like, and I've been doing this all this damn time. I taught him, even, you know, I can't do him. I did him, but only with like 50 pounds. But I had him do it, teaching him. I had him do some triceps the other day. We did shoulders and tries. And I was teaching him skull crushers. And I was like, oh, I was nervous that he couldn't do like the 20 pound, you know, bar, you know, 20 mm-hmm. pound, pre-made 20 pound, you know.
Yeah. The pre-made barbells. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I made him grab some dumbbells, and I had him doing like 2 10-pound dumbbells, so dumbbell skull crusher kind of. And he's looking at me. He's like, "Dad, you're making me feel like a." He's like, "I'm telling you, I can do that." And I'm like, "Oh, I was all nervous." So I said, "All right, let's try." So I put it on there, and I'm like spotting him, thinking it, and he just started just blowing this thing out, and he's doing good form. And I keep telling him about the form, you know.
Yeah, yeah, so, you got to.
Yeah, no, man. We've been getting him in there. He's doing, and he is, and I think he's getting taller too. So.
Yeah, that's helping. You know, so yeah,
we got to get him ready. He moves up a level in football next year.
He's 13, right?
Well, according to the gym, yes.
According to the gym. Do you have to sign a waiver for him or something? Or because I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, two of our gyms are one down the beach. I was able to give him a doctor's note.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were like, he needs to see a doctor before he comes in here, and I whipped out the note out of my back pocket. And I'm like, well, there you go.
Nice.
And then the other gyms, he's hands in air quotes. He's 13.
Yeah. That's good though. That's his body is just now starting to pump out some testosterone, and this is the best time to take advantage of that, because like he's never gonna have a natural opportunity like this ever again. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
no, it was super fun, man. It was really cool to be in there with my whole family. Like that was the first time. Haley's went with us tons of times. You know, she just goes by herself sometimes. But
good.
But Stevie's never been able to work out with us in a gym because he wasn't old enough.
Mm-hmm,
but now he's close enough to being old enough to where, quote, he's old enough, according mm-hmm. to his birthday change by a year. And we're like, it's 8-11-04, Steve. 8-11-04.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? The one gym we go to, we've been going there so long, he comes with us, but he wouldn't work out. He would just sit at the table and watch a video or something while we would train when he was little. Even they don't even pay attention. He just walked right in. He just went with us, so I don't, it's not a problem. But yeah, it's been fun.
Good. He's gonna be a bull, man. You'll see.
I hope 6'2" and like at least 280. So
he's a giant,
and I don't even care if he's ripped. I just want him to be athletic, fast, and make it to the NFL.
Yeah, forget about ripped, man. Get him a professional scholarship or something. You know, he needs to start making money soon. That's what we need.
He said to me in the gym, we were doing shoulders and tries, and he was like, "Dad, this is so much fun, man. I love lifting weights. It's fun." He's like, "But I could never do that diet you did."
Yeah,
he's like, "Good. I could never do the diet it takes to be a bodybuilder." I told him, I said, "Right now, Steve, you're playing football. You don't need to do that. We need you to be just big, strong, nasty, and fast."
Yes. Scholarship. All scholarship. Yeah. That's what we want.
We just want you to eat. We want you to eat and lift and run.
Nobody ever got a scholarship being a fucking bodybuilder. So, yes, go.
Exactly. That's so true, though.
It's true. So, yeah, no, absolutely. Get that kid training and forget about the diet food, man, and let's get him a scholarship.
I told him, I said, here's what we're going to do. You're going to start lifting, and we're going to keep lifting, and I'm going to have you do the VJ diet. We're going to go. You're going to eat.
Yes.
3 quarter pounders. The Dave Palumbo VJ diet, post workout, 3 quarter pounders, a protein shake, and then just lift heavy and run fast.
Yeah, and then some Oreos before bed, man. He'll be all right.
Yeah, he did though. He looked at me. He was sweating. I had him doing shoulder presses and stuff, and he's like, "Dad, this is fun, man. This is fun, but
good.
You know, I could never do the diet like that." You know,
that's the crazy part, man. That's the toughest part, literally. It really is, you know. So
lifting weights, going to the gym is awesome. Not eating is not awesome.
Yeah. This whole starvation stuff sucks. But hey, that's why we're crazy, right? Doc, I gotta let you go. I gotta get moving. And for clinical muscle, the doctors are out.